Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Last Monday on the show, I read out an email we got from a listener who needed our help. It said along the lines, "Dear Jen, I'm writing to you today because I desperately need the advice from you and your listeners." And went on to say, "I'm a mum of beautiful twin girls. They're 6 years old and just the best little things," she said. "We tried so hard for them, and after 3 years of negative tests, a lot of trying and a bit of help from science, they were the biggest surprise. Just before Christmas, I found out I was pregnant again. It was such a shock, as we were told the twins were miracles. I never thought it would happen. But after 3 months, I told the girls they were going to be big sisters. And well, you can imagine they were just over the moon. We all were over the moon. Just 2 weeks after my 3 month scan, I had a miscarriage. Even now, as I write this, the tears are flowing. I'm so utterly devastated. I still haven't gone back to work, and I am just in a fog of sadness." And this is the important part. She went on to say, "And I haven't been able to tell my girls. I just can't." And what a difficult thing to do while grieving as well, to sit your kids down and tell them that information and just dealing with the grief and the loss of a child that way, of miscarriages. It's something that we got such a huge response to. We got so many texts in after this. We thought we have to come back to it. And we were overwhelmed really with advice and support for that texter, Natalie. Now, we did get in touch with her, and she has told her kids in the meantime, and they took it better than she thought. But I wanted to come back to this today because talking about baby loss is important. And on the phone now is Joey, who got in touch with the show. Joey, good morning.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
First of all, thank you for getting in touch with the show. Why did you feel a need to text in?
Me and my wife were sitting in the car, and we were listening to the show last week, and it just kind of resonated with us. You know, we were true to, and both of us kind of just sat in silence. And my daughter was behind us, and she was asking, "Why are we so quiet?" But we were I fully understood what that person was talking about, not being able to talk about it, because we really haven't talked to anybody about it other than the two of us, because you just don't know how to. You just don't know how to bring the conversation up. You just don't know how to. People obviously know what you've gone through, but they don't really know what you've gone through. And it just really kind of struck home with us when we were driving, and we just sat in silence. And when we got home for dinner that evening, we both just looked at each other and said, "You know, we've never talked about this really to anybody, just ourselves." And then when you guys rang me back and asked me if I'd come on and speak, I asked her if she was okay with me talking to you guys about it. And that kind of opened up the door for us to have a conversation about it. So,
and I'm delighted it did that. Yeah. I'm also delighted to have you on, because we had a lot of text messages and a lot of people on that day, but it's nice to hear it from a man's perspective as well.
Yeah, and this is what I had the same chat with my wife. It's kind of hard to, because you're kind of, like, this kind of, should men be taking this away from women when they're going through this? But, you know, because it's the physical pain they go through. But for a parent and for a dad, it's just as devastating for us. And it's still not something that either of us will ever be over. We went through it twice in a year. And it was, they were both very different circumstances, both very different miscarriages. So I just think it's important that everybody
talk
about it.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that night at dinner you looked at your other half and said, "We've never really spoken about this." Isn't it odd? Because if you lose a parent or a friend or a sibling or someone, you know, it's you get the opportunity, I suppose, to grieve properly. Do you think you were robbed of that in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. It's particularly with the second miscarriage. And with the first miscarriage, it was just what I believed to be a normal miscarriage. It was she had some bleeding, and that went over the weekend, which actually turned into sepsis, and we were very lucky not to lose her.
Wow.
And you know, we were at a wedding in the back arse of nowhere. Oh, sorry. We're in the back.
Okay. I know it well. I've been there to a wedding.
We were about 3 hours away from a hospital, and she collapsed in that wedding, and it turns out it was sepsis, and we were hours away from losing her. You know, and that rattled us to the core. But that was just, for me, that was what I believed, not the sepsis part, but what I believed was a miscarriage, was a spot of bleeding. But it was the second miscarriage, where my son Alfie, who we'll have named, and I will say his name till the day that I die. She actually had to give birth to, you know, we seen him. We got to, we got to see his eyes and his hands. And to me, I couldn't believe that's what a miscarriage was. I couldn't believe that that happened. So you got to see your baby. Sorry.
It's okay.
But, you know, my wife was incredible. Through it all, she had to take a pill and go through that process. And, you know, the hospital was incredible. I can't remember the name of it, it's escaped me. It was a service in hospital, which were phenomenal.
Failicon.
And they gave us, they wrapped him in a blanket that was hand knitting. And, you know, they gave us a teddy bear for our daughter who, you know, he's called Alfie, but she doesn't know why it's called Alfie yet. We're still not ready to have that conversation with her, and she's 9. And this happened two years ago. But the hardest part was they gave us the option of him being buried with, you know, in an angel plot where other babies would be. But we just couldn't come to terms with not knowing where he was. So we took the box home, and I took a shovel and I went down to my dad's grave, and I took a hole there, and we buried him in with my dad. And, you know, nobody knows when nobody really knows that has happened. We had to do that, and I think we were robbed from, you know, being able to let other people grieve alongside us and to understand what it is that, you know, what we went through and still going through, I suppose. But yeah, that was probably the hardest part. It's the part that haunts me a little bit. Sorry.
It sounds like it's something that you. Obviously, you don't talk about openly.
No.
Is it just too painful to go there? It sounds.
It's, too painful. It's just you don't know how to.
Yeah.
And I suppose when you guys opened the door last week talking about it, we were only too happy to go through that door and to discuss it. But it's just not a topic of conversation where the door is open too often. It's really buried in the background, and there's so many people that have went through this that would be more than happy to have that conversation, but it's just finding the way to do it, which is, for me, this is really important. It's why I was really relieved that you guys were chatting about it on a national radio and having this conversation where people had the opportunity to say, you know what, it's time to you know, talk about this. And, you know, me and my wife have talked about it a lot since and has really helped both of us.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear. I think it's one of the hardest parts of something like this is the kind of secrecy around it.
Just kind of like a shame, which there shouldn't be. And just the kind of a stigma attached to it.
A stigma.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
I think as Irish people as well, sometimes we don't know what to say in those situations.
Yeah.
And we've had these conversations before, and people who've gone through the same situation as you and similar situations, it's just the acknowledgement. And you said something really important there. I think you said you're going to say his name till the day you die, because it's important to acknowledge Alfie, isn't it? And it's important to acknowledge that they existed.
Absolutely. Every day on his anniversary, we light a candle. And
good.
That Failicon gave us some. They gave us a box that we can, one day when we're ready, show our daughter. And, you know, since we've had a son, and he's 2 now, so we did get there in the end. But a great cost to my wife and or physically to my wife and to both of us. But we got we have a beautiful son now that's two,
and you have each other.
Yeah, we and absolutely, and you know, watching what my wife had to went through, if anything, it just made me realise how strong of an attachment that we had.
Can I ask for other people listening? The texts are flooding in of people who have gone through the same and really appreciate you being so open and honest on the national airwaves with such a delicate and personal story. Just about grief. Mm. How do you learn? Because it never goes, I suspect. No. I mean, my mother lost a child 50 years ago and she still goes to the grave. But how do you deal with it?
I acknowledge it. Understand that it's a piece of you now. And no matter if it's a parent or a miscarriage, it's just something that we shouldn't be burying in our back of our minds.
Yeah.
And that's something what we're getting a lot better at is going to the grave and bringing flowers to the grave. It was something that I struggled to do anyway, even when my father passed away. It was something I struggled with. Grief is, you know, it's the Irish thing, I suppose. I would crack a joke about it all the time about my dad passing away to try and break the tension, whereas deep down it cuts really deep. But just acknowledging this and understanding that it's there and talking about it. We now say Alfie's name when we're talking about Alfie. We unfortunately couldn't say his name, but now we do. And we will have that conversation with our daughter when we feel she's ready and we're ready to let her in on this, I suppose, this part of her life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just want to read out a lot of texts coming in, Joey, but one texter says, "Hi, Jen, I'm on my way to work and almost in tears hearing about Alfie. I am a man who wouldn't be emotional and have not went through what Joey did before, but this has hit me hard. Himself and his wife should be very proud of the bravery they've shown in talking about this and helping so many others who will now talk because of them."
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I really appreciate the fact that you let us do this. I know you guys rang me last week and it's been sitting on me for a week whether I should do it.
Yeah. Well, but my God, you are more than capable. You are more than capable. You are phenomenal. And you have opened the door for other people as well who are sitting in their car. All those women and men and parents on their way to work have the radio on in the background. So many people in this country, around the world, have been through similar. And listening to this will open up that for them and give them an opportunity to say that baby's name again and speak to their partner and have maybe a little bit of healing, because it never goes away. You just learn to live with it, I suspect. And we need to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I think, and from our experience, me and my wife, we're tight with it, you know. It's opening the doors to friends and, you know, family and letting them help you. I think that was the hardest part for us was opening that door to let people in to help us, where we felt like we had to do this on our own, where we really didn't. And I know if friends are listening to this that know me and who I haven't had that conversation with will probably reach me later on for not letting them in. But I think my advice would be to let people in, and just from the very start, just let people in and don't go through it alone, because we're 2.5 years on and it's, you know, now it feels like it was yesterday again, you know.
Well, that is very good advice. Let people in from the get-go. I think that's sound advice. You don't have to go through it on your own. Joey, thank you so much for sharing your story.
No problem.
Thank you for coming on air. And thank you for listening. And more importantly, thank you for opening up and talking.
Apologies for turning into a mess.
You're absolutely, totally fine. Yeah. And I think you're extremely brave. And as I said, the texts are flooding in for you saying thank you. So thank you, Joey.
No problem.
Talk soon. Bye.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.